And welcome back to Dakota Midday here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Again, Joe Telustis in for Carl Gerke, who will be back on Monday. Tomorrow it is Tech Radio with the Computer Guys, and Keely Boltina will host the Computer Guys from Sioux Falls. That's on tomorrow's Dakota Midday. Well, coming up this weekend here in Vermilion is the annual Shakespeare in the Park activities. We're going to talk about that and more with our guests, Chaya Gordon Bland, who's the founding. It's Kaya.
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 Yeah.
Very good. Founding artistic director of the South Dakota Shakespeare Festival and assistant professor in movement and Shakespeare in the theater department here at USD, and Darlene Farabee, Shakespeare professor in the English department at the University of South Dakota. Thank you for and welcome to both of you for joining us.
Thank you, Joe.
How many years now?
Technically, this is our third annual Shakespeare Festival, mm-hmm. although our second full production. So as a young company and a new company, we're learning the ropes quite a bit. So we did our inaugural season was 2012. We did a full production of As You Like It in the park and also enjoyed the Scholars Roundtable that year. Last year, our executive director was away on a sabbatical, so we scaled back to just our educational offerings and did a series of workshops for youth primarily. And this year, we're back to a full-scale festival program, and we're offering the Taming of the Shrew in Vermilion's Prentice Park, opening tomorrow night and running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as well as a very wide array of educational programming for all ages this year. And all of our programming is free.
Everything is free.
Everything is mm-hmm. free. It is a core piece of our mission to be as accessible to as many demographics as possible.
Well, I was thinking, I did the math today, and Shakespeare was born 450 years ago mm-hmm. this year.
It's an exciting year.
So I thought if he was 450 years and could make it to the park, I thought, you know, maybe it'd be pretty good for the rest of us as well.
That would be very exciting. We'll look for him.
What is it about you know, there's been a lot of drama, stage, comedy in the last 450 years. What is it about Shakespeare that makes it hold up today?
Do you want to go ahead, Darlene?
Sure. I think there are lots of things that make Shakespeare particularly appealing, and one is, or sort of one area that makes it particularly appealing, is that he's always asking questions that we are still interested in trying to figure out the answers to. How do we deal with our families? How do people fall in love or fall out of love or manage courtship, whatever that might happen to look like? What do we do with aging parents who aren't behaving as we want them to? Right. I mean, these are sort of the kinds of questions that Shakespeare was interested in asking. And he's always offering some really interesting, not necessarily answers, but playings out of those questions. And he's doing it in ways that involve gorgeous language, exciting plots, you know, lovely exchanges between characters. And I think those are some of the things that have kept him lively, right? So that's sort of from the content side of it. And then we also have, you know, we have an investment, I think, in sort of maintaining our connection with Shakespeare. You know, as Americans, he's not, in fact, our national playwright in the way that he is for the British. But when we think about the fact that, you know, Shakespeare dies in 1616, you know, there are Europeans already living here in America and sort of bringing with them, you know, there is still at that moment kind of a connection between those two cultures that I think is helping to spread it. And Americans in a lot of ways have really claimed Shakespeare as their own in some odd ways that I think, you know, the British version of Shakespeare is very, you know, there's so much crossover between the two that it's not that it's totally different. But I think a good bit of, for instance, we have a Shakespeare Garden on the USD campus. Shakespeare Gardens are actually a very American thing. So it's interesting to kind of think about what we've done with it culturally and why, as Americans, we are attached to this particular figure. One of the great things about The Taming of the Shrew, which is the play that the festival is doing this year, is that it's been an exceptionally popular play, and it always has been. So this is one that never went out of the repertory, even in, you know, once the theaters were closed right after Shakespeare's death. That was performed at court privately, and then it was in immediate repertory after the theaters were reopened in the 17th century. So this is a play that's always been popular and always been exciting for people.
And adding on to that, I think, you know, even going further with it, not only is Shakespeare looking at the same kinds of questions that we continue to be interested in, but he pushes us further into those questions. So a play like The Taming of the Shrew, which if it was handled, I think, in a more simplistic way, could potentially become distasteful and no longer be, you know, in style or in vogue or resonant for a contemporary audience, can still be extremely resonant for us because of the way that he shapes and fleshes out his characters in such full and complex ways, as complicated human beings, which we all are, and continues to ask questions that interest us and encourages us to probe deeper into those questions. So we don't necessarily walk away with tidy answers. We walk away having laughed and enjoyed ourselves, but also thinking more deeply about those questions.
Is there another playwright who has had so many works reinterpreted over the years, or is Shakespeare really in a class by himself? I say that. I saw the documentary, Kevin Spacey's documentary, of I think it was, what's it, King Lear, that they did on tour for, or was it Richard III? Richard III, there we go. Is anybody else even close to that as far as having their works live that long and reinterpreted and changed and things of that nature?
No.
Yeah. And I've heard, I don't know how accurate the statistic is, but that there is more writing, more scholarly and adaptive and what have you, more writing about Shakespeare and Shakespeare's works than about any other work except for the Bible.
Wow. Now, both of you interact and are in classes with college students. What are they like when they come in, and how have they changed when they come out on the other end? And is there consistency over the years?
Particularly in the context of Shakespeare?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. This is a really interesting question for the two of us, because I'm in the English department, mm-hmm. but my class is cross-listed. The Shakespeare class that I generally teach is an upper-level undergraduate course, and it's cross-listed with the theater department. And one of the things that I'm really interested in is making sure that students understand that these are, in fact, play scripts. And so I think one of the things that usually happens for a lot of the students who come into my class is they haven't had a lot of exposure to theater, or at least live theater. And so one of the things that we can really work on in the classroom and in the readings that we do outside of that is to think about, what does this look like on stage, and what kinds of decisions are being made by a company of actors who have to somehow handle this, right? And then the other thing that I think is really lovely is that I usually have some students who come in who are worried that they won't be able to understand it, right? And I think giving them some pretty simple tools and some ways to kind of think through some of what's happening with the language, because the language is different than the language that we use every day now, but it's not that different. And so trying to imagine what the pictures look like in your head when you have a really imagistic phrase, these kinds of things, I think students really do, and, you know, I get this response from them at the end of the semester, like, oh, I don't need to read a summary. I can just read Shakespeare, and I can enjoy it. And, you know, and that's sort of like the most successful version of it for me, is when that happens, that mm-hmm. students can imagine what it might look like on stage, and that they can just go off and read any of the other Shakespeare plays that they want to read.
And then over in my neck of the woods, where I'm teaching acting in a BFA acting program and teaching directing in an MFA directing program, and we are all about the theater making process, students come into the acting Shakespeare course as one of the last in their acting sequence. It's one of the most advanced classes. And so they sometimes come in with some fears and trepidations as well, but we're all about the theater making process. And I think I sort of think of that class as like a treasure chest, that it's the process of teaching and learning in that class is the process of unlocking this amazing treasure chest, because Shakespeare, as an actor himself, has written so many clues into the text itself, both explicitly and more frequently implicitly. And so there's so much to be mined from the text. And so, again, similarly to the literature point of view, when you give students some basic tools for how to begin and how to begin unlocking it, it's tremendously empowering, it's tremendously exciting, and they thrive and excel and develop a tremendous passion and enthusiasm for it. And I think actually kind of pulling us full circle with South Dakota Shakespeare Festival, evidence of sort of how this process can work when it's at its best, is there are actually 8 actors in our professional company this year who are students from the USD theater program, and 7 of them are from that Acting Shakespeare class. And so they really get to a point where they're able to be very, very adept at bringing the work to life for people who haven't been in the class to do that work themselves.
We've got about 2 minutes to go here, and could you give us a quick run through of the weekend's activities?
Fantastic. The performance of The Taming of the Shrew will be June 13th, 14th, and 15th. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 7 o'clock in Vermilion's Prentice Park. Pre-show music will begin at 6 o'clock, as well as vending of food and drink. Bring blankets and lawn chairs, and everything is free. We're offering also a wide array of workshops and educational experiences, but specifically, we'd like to tell you about the Scholars Roundtable.
So the Scholars Roundtable is happening on Saturday afternoon from 3 to 4:30 in Old Main, and it's in the Auditorium Farber Hall inside there. And we're bringing in a scholar from ASU, Dr. Bradley Reiner. And we're also bringing in Dr. Bruce Brandt, who is at South Dakota State University. And these two scholars and I will be discussing past performances, history of the play, history of Shakespeare, and we will be taking lots of questions and doing lots of discussion. So that should be quite exciting.
And if anybody needs any more details about our programming, you can visit the website at sdshakespearefestival.org.
Great. Thanks to you both. Best of luck this weekend and a great activity at Prentice Park, Shakespeare in the Park here in Vermilion.